residents of Tuscaloosa, are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. Can you believe it? We are on the eve of week number 3 of college football, and there are some huge matchups in the SEC and in college football this weekend. Tonight, we are going to do a preview of the game in South Bend, Indiana, between Texas A&M and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, which was a very close game last year, which was tied with 2 minutes left in the ball game, and Notre Dame escaped College Station with the win. Olin Buchanan and Adam Rittenberg join me on this edition of the Stingray Show to do a preview of that big early season matchup right here on the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look. No.
Heath, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, we want to welcome you inside the Friday evening edition of the Stingray Show. And we actually have football this evening and then a full slate of games tomorrow.
Stephen, we could go through all of these games and talk about them.
Yeah.
But what's just one or two that you think will be a good game? A lot of these games might be blowouts. A lot of these games might be just excellent ball games. But what's two games you're really looking forward to tomorrow?
A&M and Notre Dame, just simply because I want to see if A&M is finally for real, because they have lost 14 straight road games against ranked opponents.
Now, what's another one you got?
Arkansas and Ole Miss.
That's been a great game over the last, I don't know, 15 years.
Yep.
That's always been a really good game.
And I'm pulling for Woo Pig Suey because I want to see Sam Pittman continue up there in Fayetteville.
Well, Sam Pittman's kind of like everyone's favorite uncle in the SEC. I mean, everyone likes Sam. They just don't know if he's the man or not. The one game I can't wait to watch, Vanderbilt and South Carolina. That game could be a blowout. That game could turn out to be, you know, a nail biter. I don't know. If I knew, I wouldn't watch, and I would go bet a lot of money and become a rich man.
Yeah.
The other game that I'm really looking forward to, Florida and LSU, because I just don't know about either one of them. I just don't know. Like, I think that LSU will blow out Florida, but I won't be shocked if Florida wins that game. I just won't be shocked at all. One game I want to give some props to, and I don't think it'll be a close game, but it could be Tennessee and Georgia.
Yeah.
Can't wait to watch that one.
All right. when we go to the national history of college football, there was a huge matchup in the SEC versus the Pac-12 that really changed the game of college football here locally, and it took place back in 1970. Can you tell me, Heath, what happened?
Oh, yeah. It was, if I'm not mistaken, integration for the first time. And Bear Bryant really pushed for this game because he wanted to show his alumni and folks at the university that we've got to have this to move forward to be successful. And, you know, I'll say this, Stephen. There's been movies made about it, more than one. There's been books written about it. Hey, you know, we've had a good person on the show, Mr. College Football himself, wrote a book about it. Integration and football. Football did more to integrate our schools, our society, and all of us more than any political leader or any speech or anything else. The game of football gave us that. And, Stephen, I think that's just one of the many reasons why we love it.
On September the 12th of 1970, the fully integrated USC Trojans traveled to legendary Legion Field in Birmingham to play an all-white Alabama Crimson Tide team coached by legendary Paul Bear Bryant. USC soundly defeated Alabama by a final score of 42-21, with six touchdowns being scored by black players, including two from running back Sam Bam Cunningham. And this game is widely credited with helping convince Coach Paul Bear Bryant to more quickly integrate the Crimson Tide football program and hasten an integration of college football here in the Deep South. And I will remind you guys, one of the first black players to play for legendary coach Paul Bear Bryant was none other than Sylvester Croom.
You know, and if you hear people talk about Bear Bryant's love for Sylvester Croom, not only did he play for him, he offered him a job immediately to come coach with him.
Yep.
You know, and Sylvester Croom went on, had a wonderful career in the NFL.
Yes.
Tried to become a head coach in college. We all know how that turned out. And a lot of people, and I'll say this, Stephen, if Sylvester Croom coached in today's age, I think he would be a better coach.
Yeah.
But he was such a massive disciplinarian, where other coaches turned and, you know, a guy failed a drug test, got caught with weed, you know, got into a bar fight, whatever.
Yeah.
They would kind of ignore it, let him play. Sylvester Croom not only sat him on the bench, sometimes he kicked him off the team.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a huge disciplinarian. You got caught skipping class, you weren't starting. And, I mean, just think how much things have changed now. Of course, we got online courses and this and that.
Yeah.
I think that would only help Sylvester Croom and him coaching today. But Sylvester Croom, one of the greatest disciplinarians, but also a great person and was a great football coach. If we could ask Bear Bryant, he would brag on him all hour.
All right. And Heath, also on this day, history was made in college football history. Can you tell me what happened in 1998?
In 1998?
I think this still holds as the longest field goal kicked in college football history. Can you tell me how long it was?
I remember 98 very vividly. That was a great football season, by the way. Tennessee went on to beat Florida State for the national championship that year. If it was a long field goal, I'm going to say it happened outside of the SEC.
It did.
Okay. Because I don't remember, we had some good kickers, but I don't remember anyone breaking records. I don't think it was a Big Ten kicker, was it? I'm going to say it was a Pac-12 kicker. Am I correct?
Big 12.
Okay. Let me think of the great teams of the Big 12 back then. Oklahoma had a good team. Mike Leach was just starting at Texas Tech at the time, and he was going for it on fourth down, so I'm going to rule out Texas Tech. I'm not going to say Baylor. I can't remember if Texas had a good kicker or not, so just share it with me.
Kansas State kicker Martin Gramatica kicked a 65-yard field goal against Northern Illinois, and today that still remains the longest field goal kicked in college football without the use of a tee. So 65 yards by Martin Gramatica.
And how funny is it that his son kicked the field goal last weekend against Florida, and he kicks for the South Florida Bowl. Yeah. You know, Gramatica had a great NFL career and played for multiple teams. But, stayed in the state of Florida after his professional career. And now his son's kicking, and his son had a big kick last week. So, wow, it's like a Seinfeld episode. Circle came together there.
Okay.
Save the Gramatica with Gramatica.
All right. So we are going to go to our first break, and when we come back, Olin Buchanan, TaxAgs Radio, will join me from South Bend, Indiana, to talk all things Texas A&M as they get ready to play Notre Dame in South Bend. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Olin Buchanan on deck right after this.
Stephen, I ask you to announce Texas A&M by their proper name on the show, Texas 8-4.
Yeah, you can only say that because Olin is not here yet.
Oh, we love Olin. Hey, just remember, America starts with A&M. Love it when Olin always says that.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football? Events. And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs, or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227. To schedule an appointment to build your financial security, the Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard. It's a 9-minute drive. Also on westbound McFarland from Jack Warner Parkway to Coker, it's a 13-minute drive. An accident was moved to the shoulder, Old Montgomery Highway north at Skyland. Also construction work on Old Birmingham Highway east between 55th Avenue and Kennedy Mill Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Like it.
Never miss a moment of the action.
Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show, and now let's do a preview of Texas A&M and Notre Dame. And if you guys will remember, this was the opening season game a year ago down in College Station, and Texas A&M came oh so close to knocking off the Fighting Irish. And now to preview this game from the Texas A&M side, here is our good friend from TexAg Radio, Mr. Olin Buchanan, who will be traveling with the Texas A&M Aggies up to South Bend, Indiana. Olin, how are things with you, and how are things in South Bend, Indiana?
Well, I haven't made it to South Bend yet. My wife's there. She said it's a nice day. So hopefully tomorrow it'll be a good day for A&M. We're going to be... Me and the Texax crew and I will be leaving in an hour or so for the airport and then flying up to Chicago and making the drive in tomorrow and looking forward to it. So I think you're having an A&M team that's certainly capable of winning this game. But A&M has got to get the monkey off their back of 14 consecutive road losses to ranked opponents. So the last time they beat a ranked opponent was 2014. Was 2014 against Auburn.
Wow.
Yeah, they've come close a few times. You might remember them being on the 2-yard line against Alabama a few years ago.
Yeah.
Had Devon Achane in the backfield and didn't even use him as a decoy. Threw a pass that was very low percentage. But, hey, it's not that anybody from A&M is still upset about that.
Yeah. So, Olin, real quick, we talked in the preview show about the defense for the Aggies. You said that you had to see something for them. They came out of the gate and they let Texas San Antonio put 24 points on them. Talk about that side of the football through the first two games of the Aggie defense.
Yeah, it's been good. They've given up touchdowns passes in each of the one of them set up a touchdown. They've given up long passes in each of the first two games at the very end. You know, so it was backups and things like that. So from a pass defense standpoint, they've shown significant improvement. Now you can question the caliber of competition, obviously, but UTSA last year was 11th in the country in passing offense, and everybody was back. You know, Owen McCown, their receivers, they had a experienced offensive line. Now, I'm still not saying that they are as good as the competition that A&M has coming up, but they're at least a team that could give you a really good gauge of where you're at. The problem, as was the problem last year against Notre Dame, is A&M's tendency to give up a big play in the running game.
Yeah.
UTSA rushed for 203 yards. About almost all of them came on six runs, and about more than half came on three. They had a 75-yard touchdown run on the first play of the second half. Same kid who, I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the NFL, but he's still – you got to keep him under control. Had a 22 and a 25-yard run later in that game or during that game. So it's like 90% of the time they play pretty sound defense, but they have that one slip and it turns out to be, you know, brutal. And that was kind of the situation last year against Notre Dame. Notre Dame, friend, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but like 198 yards. That included a 47-yard touchdown run by Jadarian Price, and then a 21-yard touchdown run that turned out to be the game winner by Jeremiah Love. So about 85 to 90% of the time, they're playing pretty sound run defense, but they have that tendency to give up the big play, and that's what they can't do tomorrow.
Yes. All right. So when you look at this matchup from the fan perspective, what is the hype and the excitement of the Aggie fan base going into this game? because you know that they want the revenge factor from last year.
Well, here's the truth about A&M. Have you ever heard of BAS? It's called Battered Aggie Syndrome. And there's a large faction of A&M fans that are infected with it, maybe almost all of them. And so they just expect bad things to happen. So there is this, for every A&M fan that's confident and excited and says, hey, this is the opportunity. This is the game that can finally propel you over that hump that you haven't been able to clear, that could put you on the track of being, you know, having a great year, maybe even becoming an elite program. For everyone that embraces this and looks forward to it, says this is our chance, is another one that says, you know, I just hope they can keep it close. Oh, we've been here before. Don't tell me that they can win, because you always say that. So you have, yeah, and you know what? Quite frankly, there's probably more of the people that are pessimistic, because it's happened so often. And I think that happens to a lot of programs. And until you finally, you know, a lot of programs that have struggled, they cry wolf too many times, right? So is the wolf going to show up this time? You know, the wolf might show up. I'm wolfish on this team. Some people are bearish or bullish. I'm wolfish. This could be the game where you've been crying wolf and it doesn't happen. This could be the game that happens, but they're going to have to play really good football. But if you tell the fans that it's possible, you know, some of them are going to say, hell yeah, it's possible. Let's go. Strap it on and let's go get a big win. Others are going to say, oh, you know, it's not going to happen. They always go and they lose. And we've lost 14 consecutive games like this. I guess you can understand it, but eventually all good things come to an end, and eventually maybe all bad things do too.
Yes. All right. So we talked about the defensive struggles the first two games with the run defense. Talk about what you've seen from Marcel Reed and the offense for the first two games for the Aggies.
Yeah, the offense is good. First game, you know, A&M had one of the better running games in the SEC last year. The first game, they didn't even – They barely gave any attention to the running game. They were coming out wanting to throw. They got the two new receivers, Mario Craver, the transfer from Mississippi State, Casey Concepcion, the transfer from North Carolina State. Marcel, his first year of starting the season as the number one quarterback. I think it was obvious that they just wanted to say, hey, let's get these guys going. And they did. He had a really nice game. He followed that up. Utah State, not a great opponent, but they did what you're supposed to do. They moved the ball really well against them and then changed quarter. Marcel got a little dinged up, and instead of push it, they say, yeah, let's bring him out. But they still scored 44. Could have been easily over 50. I think especially in the passing game, it's pretty obvious that they're better and definitely faster at receiver than they were last year. I think Marcel's playing great. Marcel's accounted for 8 touchdowns in 2 games. He's thrown 7 touchdown passes. He's run for 1. They haven't let him run a lot yet. And for the most part, the offense has been pretty vanilla. I'm sure they're going to unveil some things against Notre Dame. So I think that offense is a reason to believe that A&M not just has a chance to finally win, but on the road against a ranked opponent, but a pretty good chance.
You mentioned that he was a little dinged up last week. How is he doing in practice this week and getting ready for Notre Dame tomorrow night?
Well, they don't let us go to practice like most coaches don't. So the word we get is he's fine.
Okay.
Mike Elko said he was fine. His dad, who you probably know, was a head coach at Tennessee State a few years ago. He texted me, he said, oh, no, he's fine. Unless everybody's just, you know, running some shade and interference, just flat out lying, he's going to be good to go.
So we are up against another break, and when we come back, we are going to do the preview of A&M and Notre Dame and talk exclusively about that game in South Bend. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Olin Buchanan of TexAx Radio continues with me right after this. Olin, can you give me another 10 minutes?
Yeah, I can do another 10.
Okay, and then that's all I need.
All right. Yeah, I got to finish in advance, and then I got to go vacuum my truck out. I didn't know I was going to be driving to the airport.
I got you.
And I had my dog in the back seat.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch. Makes them bang into each other. Stays on his feet. Breaks the tackle. Scores. Scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide hit the turf to face the Wisconsin Badgers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort,
ECH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. This is the Texas A&M and Notre Dame preview show. We were talking with Olin Buchanan before the break about Texas A&M's first two games against UTSA and against Utah State. Now, Olin, when we look at this matchup versus Notre Dame, is this your first trip ever to South Bend and to Notre Dame?
No. Actually, in my previous job, I was a national college writer for Rivals, and I can remember going up to Notre Dame, first of all, in the spring, when Charlie Weiss was the coach, to do a big feature on Brady Quinn. Not much going on in South Bend in the spring. It was quite a different atmosphere the next time I went. I think it was 07, maybe 08. And I went to cover their game against USC.
Okay.
And USC trounced them. So it was 38-0 with I think Mark Sanchez was the quarterback. I know Pete Carroll was the coach. So yeah. And you said USC was rolling then.
And talk about that rivalry just for a second, please, because that is a really nasty rivalry that you don't hear that much about.
You're talking about USC and Notre Dame. Yeah. Now, it's my understanding that this rivalry between those two started when Newt Rockne's wife wanted to get out of the winter. So they scheduled, hey, let's schedule a game in Southern California. Then we can get out of the winter for a while. And that's how it started. Of course, they play the game early if it's going to be in Notre Dame, and then they play it late if it's going to be SC, so they can avoid the weather. And you're right. It's kind of a manufactured rivalry that really took off because it's not like Ohio State and Michigan. Yeah. You know, there's a border, or Alabama and Auburn, where it's in-state, or, you know, something, Texas and Oklahoma, you know, border thing. Rarely, I think, can you think of another rivalry where that's a real rivalry that goes, you know, from the middle of America to the coast?
No.
But you know what? Two elite programs, two blue bloods. For a long time, the winner of that game was going to have a great chance of winning the national championship. I'm talking about the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. A lot of great players in it. And so, it was a game I always watched. The first one I ever watched on TV, Notre Dame was winning 24-0 at halftime, and Anthony Davis returned a second half kick for a touchdown for SC, and they came back and won it.
Wow.
So, great games, yeah. Great players, great rivalry.
All right. When you look at the matchup on Saturday evening, where do you feel like that Texas A&M has an advantage over Notre Dame?
If you watch the Miami game, I thought Miami ran the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
And like I said, A&M can run. I know they have a very experienced, proven offensive line. And Le'Veon Moss is healthy. Carried 10 times last week for 68 yards. Reuben Owens is healthy. So then Marcel gives you that running threat from the quarterback. So I would feel like A&M has an advantage there. The weird thing is, if you ask me, and I'm sure you will, where Notre Dame has the advantage, it's the same thing. I mean, you got the combination of Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, who may be the best running back tandem in the country. The guys up at Penn State would disagree.
Yeah.
I can't think of a better, and you'll probably think of because you know more about college football than I do, but a better tandem of running backs since Georgia had the Gershels.
Yes.
Oh, is it Gurley and Marshall? Man, those were good. So, you know, and A&M still has to prove itself against the run. So, I guess, you know, you would think whoever runs the ball more effectively is probably going to win. And then don't be surprised, since I said that, if it doesn't turn into a, you know, track meet passing game, you know, up and down the field between C.J. Carr and Marcel Reed throwing all over the place. You never know.
So if it does turn out to be a track meet, Olin, who does that favor in your opinion?
Well, I got to tell you, I think it favors A&M. Mario Craver and Casey Concepcion are big play guys. And this is not meant to be disrespectful for Notre Dame and their receivers, but I know they got a kid, his name I can't think of right off the top of my head, who transferred in from Virginia. And they still have Jaden Greathouse and Jordan Faison, and they're good.
Yes.
But I don't see those guys as being as big play threats that Concepcion and Craver are. Maybe I'm wrong on that. That's why they play it. But you got to respect those guys. They played for the national championship and they did make some plays along the way. I think Jaden Greathouse was really good toward the in the playoffs last year. But, you know, game to game, I think A&M just has probably more speed and more explosiveness at the receiver position. So if it becomes that kind of game, I do think it would favor A&M.
All right. So, Olin, how do you see it playing out tomorrow evening there at Notre Dame Stadium between A&M and Notre Dame?
You know, Stingray, I keep trying to break it down, you know, and say what, who has this, who has that, and who's gone. You know, it was a tie game with 2 minutes to go last year.
Yeah.
And you're going to tell me Notre Dame's better without Riley Leonard and without Xavier Watts and Benjamin Morrison and Cross, the big tackle, and Riley Mills and Jack Kaiser? And I'd say, I don't believe that.
Right.
So everything, when I break it down, and again, I know they got a running game and all these things, freshman quarterback, though, all these things I look at, I break it down and I say, I think A&M's going to win. And then I go, snap out of it.
Yeah.
A&M hadn't won a road game against a ranked opponent since 2014. Yeah. What are you doing? So it's one of those things that pretend I'm from Missouri for a while and say, you know, you got to show me. Until A&M goes on the road and wins a game against a ranked opponent, and they've had opportunities before. Sometimes it was bad luck. Sometimes it was a bad call. Sometimes it was bad coaching. But they just haven't done it. And you can't put that on Mike Elko and the players here, but the program has to prove that they're ready to do it. And until they do, I have to pick Notre Dame 31-27. But hey, A&M covers then.
Yeah, that's right. Olin, be safe going to South Bend, Indiana, and hopefully this time the Aggies can do what USC did to Notre Dame back there and drill Notre Dame. Enjoy your time up there. Gig them and leave us with your famous catchphrase, if you would.
Well, I mean, first of all, thank you for those good vibes, Stingray, because if it's 38-0, my story is almost written by halftime, right? Yeah. And then I can get back to Chicago and get to bed before I have to catch an early flight. Always remember, never forget America. Starts with A&M.
Gig them, my friend.
All right, sing right.
Whoop. Let's go and go and enjoy it, and we would love to catch up with you later on.
Go A&M. Go America.
Yes. Thank you, thank you, man.
All right. Thanks a lot, Stingray.
So, guys, that is going to wrap up the A&M side of this matchup. We've got one segment left. When I come back, I'm going to be joined by Adam Rittenberg, senior writer for ESPN, to preview this side from the Notre Dame side and to talk about the Alabama and Wisconsin game. ESPN senior writer Adam Rittenberg, if I could talk correctly, is standing by on the other side of this break, and you're listening to the Stingray Show. I swear, I cannot talk this evening. So frustrating.
Blah, 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 blah.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we're going to recap Alabama and Wisconsin. We'll do that with Drew DeArmond. We'll also talk with Martin Houston. We'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com. And we'll take your phone calls starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about Stop Buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192 to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's a 7-minute drive. And traffic is flowing normally on I-20 east, heading from 359 to Cottondale, a 7-minute drive. Also, we've got road work on Skyland Boulevard from I-359 to Buttermilk Road and construction on Highway 82 at Sam Sutton Road, one lane open. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Buck.
Nothing like it.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We just finished up with Olin Buchanan of TexAgs Radio discussing this game from the Texas A&M side. Now, let's preview this from the home team. They are in South Bend, Indiana, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, who are coming off of a loss in week one to the Miami Hurricanes. And then last week, they had a bye week to prepare for the Texas A&M Aggies. Here is ESPN senior writer Adam Rittenberg, who covers college football and the Big Ten up there in Big Ten country, to talk about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Adam, how are things with you on the eve of the huge game there in South Bend, Indiana?
Yeah, great to be with you, Stingray. It's a fun matchup, right? Excited last year with that opener down in College Station. And then certainly this is one that I've had circled for a while. You just don't see Texas A&M up in this part of the country very often. They obviously have a great fan base, as you know, and expect to see a lot of Aggies there cheering on their team. And this is, you know, the game has taken on significance, you know, with Notre Dame losing their first game. Their backs are very much against the wall. This is a major opportunity for A&M to assert itself as a playoff contender. So, you know, this is a game that I think we'll be talking about, you know, weeks from now, maybe months from now, as a game that reveals a lot about both teams.
All right. If you would please recap what you saw in week one from Notre Dame there in Miami.
You know, it was an interesting game. I think it did not go how I thought it would, not necessarily from a win-loss standpoint. I knew it was going to be a close game and it would kind of go either way. But I thought, you know, Notre Dame's defense would be a bit better. There was a lot of talk about their defensive front and, you know, going into the season, it's maybe the best overall defense in college football or one of them. And they still could be that. I mean, this is an important opportunity this week, but they weren't that against Miami. Miami controlled the line of scrimmage. Miami made more plays on offense. I don't think Notre Dame feels great about how it pressured Carson Beck. So they need to be a lot better this week to be able to come out of there with the win. And then, you know, the other subplot of that game was the lack of touches for Jeremiah Love, Notre Dame's Heisman Trophy contender, one of the most explosive players in college football. He only had 14 touches in that ball game and only 10 carries, I believe. So that's a number that needs to go up. And, you know, Coach Marcus Freeman talked this week about how, you know, there were a number of RPOs called for a first-time starting quarterback in C.J. Carr, and, you know, the numbers in the box, you know, kind of suggested you keep the ball rather than handing it off, but they've got to hand it off more. And I think Marcus knows that. I think offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock knows that. And I would expect to see J. Love having a much bigger role one way or the other in this game on Saturday night.
Now, Adam, when we flip and talk about Texas A&M, they have played two weaklings in Texas San Antonio and Utah State. However, when you look at the Texas A&M defense, they did allow 24 points against UTSA. Talk about Texas A&M's defense and what you've seen from the Aggies.
Right. You know, a little bit harder to assess, as you mentioned, because of the competition, even though they played twice as many games as Notre Dame. And I know that there's certainly optimism that this is going to be a good defense, but, you know, look at who they lost. They lost two really good players on the defensive line, you know, some other spots. So I think there's maybe more question marks on the A&M side, even though Notre Dame, you know, we saw them struggle at times as well in their opener against Miami. So, you know, Mike Elko knows what he's doing. Jay Bateman's a really good defensive coordinator. I think they're going to have as good of a plan as they can, especially going against, you know, a quarterback in C.J. Carr, who I think showed us some impressive things in the Miami loss, but is still very much in the early stages of his development. So the looks that they give him, how they figure out ways to pressure him, you know, how they figure out ways to take the ball out of Jeremiah Love's hands, because that's absolutely the game plan. Notre Dame is not elite at wide receiver. Eli Raritan is a promising tight end, but I don't think he's quite at the level of, you know, Michael Mayer types that have come through there from a tight end standpoint, Cole Kmet. So I think their game plan and their execution is going to be certainly an interesting thing, but they're going to have to play better, and Mike Elko knows it, than they did in those first two ball games.
Where do you feel like that Notre Dame has the advantage over Texas A&M?
Well, yeah, I think being at home is a big one. I do think Notre Dame's secondary, and, you know, Mike Elko highlighted that group is one of the best in college football, has a chance to really show out in this game. You know, Leonard Moore and Christian Gray and Don Shuler and some of those other DBs have been in big moments before. And I know Marcel Reed really wants to show that he's a top passing quarterback and not just an athlete back there. Notre Dame, meanwhile, wants to show that it's maybe one of the best secondaries in the country. So I think that's a potential advantage. And then I still look at that running back room that Notre Dame has, and there's very few teams that can counteract it. Now, A&M also is very good at running back, but if you look at obviously Jeremiah Love, if you look at Jadarian Price, who would start for a lot of teams, and Aeneas Williams, who would probably start for a lot of teams, that's a pretty good group of running back, stable of running backs. So if Notre Dame is playing the way it wants to, they will be running the ball more. They'll be controlling the line of scrimmage. And their offensive line, you know, these are two of the better offensive lines in college football. But again, I think Notre Dame didn't feel great about its overall line play in that opener. I mean, talking to their coaches in the spring, it's a group that really has no seniors, but they believe they have more overall talent than even last year's group, which helped them get to the national championship game. So a lot of fun ones. I mean, the offensive line matchup, the quarterback matchup, you know, these are two former Notre Dame defensive coordinators who are coaching these teams in Marcus Freeman and Mike Elko. There's just a lot to like about this matchup, and I hope it delivers on Saturday night.
All right, let's flip it. Where do you feel like that Texas A&M has the advantage over Notre Dame?
Well, right. I think, you know, from what we saw in the opener, again, my opinion could change, but you saw what Miami's offensive line was able to do for stretches of that game, really until the fourth quarter. They were the aggressor. They were controlling Notre Dame's defensive front and keeping those guys out of the backfield, keeping them away from Carson Beck. And I know there's a lot of faith in this A&M offensive line is one of the better ones in the SEC in the country. So that's possibly an area they can really take advantage of and then get their running backs going because they're very talented at that position. So these are, you know, this could be a run heavy game. And not so much involving the two quarterbacks, although I know they both have that capability to attack downfield. They both have the ability to make dynamic plays. Obviously, Marcel Reed has shown what he can do with his legs, and I think C.J. Carr is a pretty good athlete as well. But if you look at these two offensive lines, you look at these two running back stables, that's where I sense the game will evolve on Saturday.
All right. And Adam, you are going to the game there in South Bend. How do you see it playing out? Give us a prediction.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone back and forth on this a little bit. In Notre Dame, with its back against the wall, an 0-2 start possibly, maybe probably eliminates them from the playoff. They're playing on their home field where they've been really good under Marcus Freeman. And I know they've had their early season struggles. In a sense, I think this early bye week, even though it's probably not ideal if you're a coach to have a week off so soon in the season, that should get them, you know, healthy and refocused and really revived to play this game. So I think it'll be a close game, one possession type game, but it's hard to see Notre Dame starting this season 0-2.
All right. And Adam, one final game I want to touch on with you, and that one is not getting a lot of hype nationally. It is Wisconsin at Alabama tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. It is an early kick. Give us a breakdown of Alabama-Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is a game that, again, going in, looks like it's going to be lopsided towards the Alabama side, and it was last year, but you know, there was a quarterback injury in that game. I was at it last year up in Madison with Tyler Van Dyke, unfortunately sustaining a season-ending knee injury. There's unfortunately a quarterback injury again on the Wisconsin side with Billy Edwards Jr. Out for this game and Danny O'Neill, who's a transfer from San Diego State, coming in. And even though I think Wisconsin is closer to what it wants to be on the offensive side of the ball, with Jeff Grimes as the coordinator. Jeff obviously knows the SEC. He was at Auburn. He was at LSU earlier in his career, so he understands this type of challenge. But they, you know, without Billy at quarterback, it's going to be hard for them, I think, to consistently keep up with an Alabama offense that I still believe has great potential to pile up points. So Wisconsin's played good defense so far. We'll see what they can do. Ryan Williams had a big game last year up in Madison. I know that Alabama talked this week about how it's pushing Ty Simpson and grinding him a little bit more. So, I expect Alabama to win this fairly comfortably, you know, setting up obviously that huge game with Georgia in a couple of weeks.
Adam, look, man, I know that you were on a time crunch. Go and enjoy covering the game there in South Bend, Indiana. And we would love to catch up with you later on to continue our discussion of college football later down the line.
All right. Sounds good, man. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Thank you, man. All right. So, guys, that is going to wrap up the Notre Dame and Texas A&M preview show. I really do want to thank both Adam Rittenberg and Olin Buchanan for joining us on this edition of the Stingray Show. When we come back on the Monday evening edition of the Stingray Show, it is going to be a full recap of week number 3 in college football. And then when we come back on Tuesday, we will get into week number 4 of the previews for that weekend. So, guys, we will do a full recap when we see you guys again on Monday evening right back here at 6 p.m. And we will see you then. Have a wonderful weekend out there and enjoy your college football.